You're listening to Evil, a true crime podcast. Join me each week as I bring you real people, real stories, real crimes, and the evil they encountered. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm recording this live from the inside of my closet. Never thought I'd be back in the closet. If you know, you know. But today I'm going to be doing another case that's local to my area. The case that I'm going to be doing is the case of 17-year-old Beth Ellen Vinson. And her case is actually considered Raleigh's oldest unsolved homicide case. So without further ado, this is her story. I just wanted to jump in here real quick and say that there isn't a lot of information on her case. Her case is considered a cold case, so there is only a couple of news articles here and there, and I did find a television special that they did 13 years after the incident on YouTube. So I will be referencing those things. Beth Ellen Vinson was born on February 16, 1977 to Bill and Penny Vinson. Beth grew up in Goldsboro, a small town in North Carolina, and as a young child, she fell in love with dance. Her dad, Bill, lovingly remembers her as a unique child, saying she wouldn't walk through the house, she would plie. Every night after dance class, if there was a new step, she would take her father out to the back patio and show him what she had learned. At 17, Beth was a girl with big dreams, hopes, and aspirations. She had dreams of living in the big city. She wanted to become a professional dancer and move to New York. Beth Ellen's family remembers her as a beautiful young woman who was strong-willed, driven, and friendly with a great sense of humor. Since she had always been an avid dance student, she had multiple awards under her belt by the age of 17, as well as being an accomplished pageant queen. By the time her senior year rolled around, Beth Ellen had grown impatient. She wanted to be famous, and she got tired of waiting. Against her mother and father's wishes, Beth Ellen moved from her small town to Raleigh, North Carolina in July of 1994. Penny believed it was a huge mistake. Before she, quote, ran away, as Penny refers to it, Beth Ellen's parents supported her dreams, even going so far as to promise to pay for an apartment for her in New York City. They just wanted her to finish high school. But she clearly couldn't wait. Those New York City lights were calling her name. Raleigh was supposed to be just a little speed bump on her way to New York City. She figured it was a bigger city, so she had more chances to save up and make more money. Unfortunately, she lied and claimed she was 18 years old and quickly began working as a private dancer for an escort service, Class Act Escort Services out of Virginia Beach. She had told her parents she had been working at a grocery store. When her parents did find out, they weren't very happy. And can you blame them? I mean, of course, for them, that's not what they wanted for their 17-year-old. They wanted their 17-year-old at home with them. So it's super understandable why they were upset.
I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I tried to picture my daughter doing that, and the picture wouldn't focus. It was like she had finally desecrated everything that we stood for. Yeah. And finally, she has stepped on across the line that she has said to me, all the things that you find holy are for nothing.
And the reason she did this was to help afford an apartment she was sharing with her boyfriend, a man named Rick Heath, and to save up enough money to make it to New York City. She had met Rick through a relative of her best friend. He was a 21-year-old NC State student who was also from Goldsboro, so they had that in common. According to her mother, Beth Ellen moved into an apartment with a young man she had met previously and several other roommates, so it isn't clear if her mom knew the extent of her relationship with Rick. In the early morning hours of August 16, 1994, Beth Ellen was sitting on the couch with her boyfriend Rick. They were watching Basic Instinct when she received a call from the escort service about a job opportunity. And she got the call at 2 a.m. She accepted and quickly got ready to go and said goodbye to her boyfriend before leaving their apartment at 2:30 a.m. This would be the last time Beth Ellen was seen alive. See, Beth Ellen was going to meet a client in room 118 at the Innkeeper Motel. According to Rick, she had planned to return home soon. At 5:30 a.m., an employee of a used car lot in Raleigh arrived for work, and he found Beth Ellen's car, a white 1990 Mazda 626, parked in a way that was blocking the entrance to the car lot. The car was parked sideways. Police were immediately called, and the car was reported because in the weird manner in which it had been parked, and investigators quickly began their investigation. When investigators looked through Beth Ellen's car for any information, they noticed that the car windows were rolled down, the radio was playing, and one of Beth Ellen's shoes was sitting on the ground in the driver's side. Immediately, they believed that foul play may be involved. Shortly after police arrived and began looking into Beth Ellen's car, her boyfriend Rick drove up next to them to inform the police that he was out looking for Beth Ellen because she had been gone all night and hadn't returned home. After Beth Ellen goes missing, police question Beth Ellen's boyfriend, Rick, and the client at the hotel and cannot eliminate either of them as suspects. They believe the prime targets of the investigation should be the person she had left and the person she was going to see. Investigators intensify their focus on Rick, who they had considered a suspect since the morning her car was found, and for a very specific reason. The officer that responded out there was in the process of talking to the car dealership management when Rick arrived on scene. He claimed he was out looking for Beth. He knew where she was going earlier, but her car was abandoned just south of the Beltline, and to get to the hotel, she would have gotten off the northbound exit. According to investigators, that wasn't really in view of the route you would take coming off the Beltline going north on Capitol Boulevard. And if he had taken that route, he wouldn't have been able to see her car, even if he had been looking. So how did he find the car, and why was he there? Investigators found it very suspicious. Authorities finally determined that Beth Ellen never made it to the Innkeeper Hotel to meet the client that night. It was difficult to confirm at first, but the client had been on a binge of drugs and booze and prostitutes, and he couldn't say for sure whether or not he had met with Beth Ellen. That's how messed up this dude was. As for her boyfriend, Rick, no physical evidence linked him to the crime scene. On August 23, 1994, a local businessman was looking around the building of his workplace after employees had complained about a strange smell outside of the building. It was around noon that he would find Beth Ellen's remains hidden in a small ditch between two buildings. She was lying underneath pieces of flattened cardboard. Beth Ellen had been stabbed several times. On August 26, 1994, 3 days after Beth Ellen's remains were found, investigators announced a $6,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the individual or individuals responsible for Beth Ellen's death. The reward included $5,000 from the North Carolina Governor's Office and Raleigh Crime Stoppers. On September 8, 1994, at 9:30 a.m., another set of remains were found. An anonymous tip sent into Raleigh Crime Stoppers leads police to the remains of another young woman later identified to be Tracy Ann Mochette. The remains are found behind a Kmart in West Raleigh near the business garbage bins. Investigators announced that Beth Ellen's and Tracy's cause of death are different and that the cases in general are very different. Tracy's death at this time is labeled as a suspicious death, but investigators do not rule out murder as a possible manner of death. Police do not believe that the two cases are related or connected in any way. By September 8, 1994, the reward amount had been raised once again to $12,000. On September 13, 1994, a judge issued a court order to delay release of Beth Ellen's cause of death. Superior Court Judge Donald Stephens signed a court order delaying the release of the medical examiner's report for Beth Ellen's death on Friday, September 13, 1994. At this point, the judge also announced that the autopsy results should be released sometime in the foreseeable future. The reasoning given behind this delay is due to the information being present in the reports that may cause issues within the investigation or be to the advantage of the suspect. Authorities struggled to find a motive for Beth Ellen's brutal slaying. She had very little in cash and valuables, so robbery was unlikely. In October 1994, a local newspaper received an anonymous letter. The main information noted in this letter, which was received by the Goldsboro News Argus newspaper, was that Beth Ellen was killed because she had allegedly attempted to blackmail members of a sadomasochistic group that she had worked for. This group, as explained in the letter, was called the Power Exchange of the Triangle, which allegedly included highly regarded members of society, including lawyers, public officials, and executives. According to an article written by the News and Observer newspaper, which is a newspaper in Raleigh, if y'all didn't know, this letter, presumably written by another individual who may fear for their safety, states that Beth Ellen was working for individuals who had, quote, unique taste, and that Beth Ellen had been making approximately $300 to $500 without providing sexual acts. The letter continues to explain that Beth Ellen had got sick of the pain but still wanted the money, and ultimately tried to blackmail former customers. The writer of this letter ends with the following statement. Quote, I asked her if she was scared that something might happen to her. She said no. I've got a list of names hidden, and if anything happens to me, I've got a friend 70-something miles down the road that'll send the list to the Argus newspaper. End quote. The letter continues to explain that the night that Beth Ellen disappeared, she said that she was going out to collect. The hitman that was hired may be caught, but those responsible will never be brought to justice. On May 9, 1996, detectives released additional details in Beth Ellen's investigations. Detectives announced that 3 to 4 rings that Beth Ellen always wore were missing from her remains when she was found on August 23, 1994. Detectives plead with that the public view replicas of each rings with the belief that it is possible that someone who may not be directly connected to the murder may have been giving the ring sometime between late August of 1994 and today. Investigators also announced that Beth Ellen's purse was missing. The purse was described as a cloth pull-string shoulder bag purse that was burgundy, burnt orange, and brown with the figure of a cowboy woven into the side. It had a zipper on the top with a leather strap and was 6 inches wide and 4.5 inches tall. Specifically, police note that one of the rings was a sterling silver spoon ring popular in the 1960s and 70s, which reportedly had a chantilly pattern. Another ring, which was given to Beth Ellen as a gift from her mother, is described by police as a 14-karat gold band with 2 amethyst stones on either side of a garnet stone. Finally, investigators describe 2 rings that are also missing from Beth Ellen's collection, a 10-karat ring with purple amethyst, 2 diamond chips, and a yellow gold band, described as stackable, and a fake silver mood ring which had a white stone that grew dark with body heat.
In the hour-long special that I watched that was produced 13 years after her murder, nobody, and I want to say absolutely nobody, from the detectives to her parents mentioned the letter, so I don't think that they think that letter had anything to do with her case or with her murder. I just wanted to make a really, really quick note of that.
On August 16, 2000, friends and family members gathered to remember Beth Ellen. On the 6th anniversary of Beth Ellen's death, 24 of her friends and family members gathered for the first time at the site where Beth Ellen's remains were found to share a moment of remembrance for their dear loved one. The Federal Bureau of Investigation included Beth Ellen's case as one of their featured cases in their October 2006 law enforcement bulletin to help bring more awareness to her case. In 2007, Beth Ellen's case was featured in an hour-long television special. In it, investigators had opposing opinions on what could have happened to Beth Ellen. Lieutenant Chris Morgan, who retired from the Raleigh Police Department, stated that from everything he learned, it became clear to him that Beth Ellen's intentions in the week leading up to her death was to return to Southern Wayne High School and finish her last year of high school. They believed the escort money wasn't bringing in the money she thought it would and that she was in way over her head. Penny, her mother said that she was gullible enough to get into something way over her head, I'm sure of that. But she's sensible enough to try and get out, and maybe that's what she was doing when she was leaving that apartment that night with all of her clothes in the back. So it's definitely alluding that they believe she was coming back home to Goldsboro. And in this show, her parents made it very clear who they believed killed their daughter. But again, everything is allegedly. I just want to say allegedly. It was revealed that Ricky Heath had failed a polygraph shortly after they found Beth Ellen's car and that he had insisted that he had nothing to do with her disappearance. He had returned to Goldsboro early on in the investigation, and police did keep an eye on him while he was there, and he pretty much spent time lounging around the house. Detectives revealed that they can't be certain, but they don't believe that Beth Ellen was sexually assaulted. There was no evidence to indicate that it was a sexually motivated crime in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We know that her panties were intact because Penny tells us so.
Panties were intact, and the police assured us that nobody rapes somebody and puts their panties back on.
So that led investigators to believe that rage was the motive, which pointed them to one person. Apparently, in 2000, a detective with the Raleigh Police Department complied everything that they had on Rick Heath, and he went to the district attorney's office seeking murder charges, but it wasn't enough. Beth Ellen's parents say that they feel like they know in their heart of hearts who did it, even though there is no proof. So that kind of puts me in a little bit of a pickle because we need a little bit of proof, you know, to put somebody in jail. We need evidence, guys. We can't just stick people in jail because we have a feeling that they might have did it. And of course, I'm trying to be so sensitive to the fact that they lost their daughter in such a brutal manner. And I'm never trying to tell a victim's parents how to feel, but we kind of need some proof. That's what our justice system is based on. And if we didn't have proof, then there would probably be a lot more innocent people sitting in jail than we have now. So that's all I'm saying. We need just a little bit of evidence. But see, the issue with the theory that Rick did it is that there's absolutely no physical evidence that links him to the crime. And remember when I said earlier on in the episode that the investigators don't agree? So they both have differing opinions on how this case could have or should have been solved. And both of these detectives are retired from the Raleigh Police Department, okay? So, Major K.A. Thomas believes that there's no evidence to identify a suspect, convict, or bring charges on a suspect, while Lieutenant Morgan states that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, which leaves me so confused. Like, what does that even mean? What? Absence of evidence does not mean evidence of like, we need evidence. That's how we convict people. I'm so confused. Anyways... It's been so many years since her murder, and if Rick is the killer, allegedly, he hasn't cracked and he hasn't made any kind of mistake. If Rick was the suspect, you have to be willing to believe that he left his apartment at the spur of the moment, and he himself, not being so familiar with the city of Raleigh, he was able to find her in her vehicle in the middle of the night, get her to stop on the side of the road, take her a short distance and brutally stab her, and then get back home before the roommates got home. So Captain Lynch doesn't really think that that's plausible. Another theory is simply that she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Captain Lynch believes that it was a stranger who killed Beth and that she was simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. But in order for this theory to work, we have to believe that Beth Ellen pulls her car over, which was operating perfectly fine, in the middle of the night and encountered a cold-blooded killer. Lieutenant Morgan disagrees and states that the simplest solution is usually the correct solution. Captain Lynch believes she pulled over because she was lost. While Beth Ellen's parents and Captain Morgan believed she was pulled over because someone she knew flagged her down. So what do you think happened? 29 years later, and her case isn't any closer to being solved. And unfortunately, Penny, Beth Ellen's mother, passed away in 2017 without ever having any answers to what happened to Beth. And I know I tell you guys all the time that I'm not a super religious person, but I try and say that I am spiritual. So even when things like this happens, I, for my sanity, always like to believe that somehow her mom and Beth Ellen were reunited, and that whatever answers were left unresolved, that at that moment that they both passed away, that they became resolved or it just became unimportant, whatever it is, and that they just found some peace. There is still a $12,000 reward for any information leading to an arrest and conviction of the individual or individuals responsible for Beth Ellen's brutal murder. If you have any information, please contact Raleigh Crime Stoppers at 919-834-HELP or the Raleigh Police Department's Major Crime Unit at 919-890-3555. You can also send an anonymous tip through the Federal Bureau of Investigation's online tip form. And that's it, guys. That is the story of Beth Ellen Vinson. What do you guys think? That is Raleigh's oldest unsolved murder. Comment, like, share. It helps the podcast grow. So our Instagram is at evilpodcast88. Follow us on TikTok at evilpodcast. Our Twitter is at evilpodcast88. I just made a Facebook group. It's at evilpodcast. Add me on there. And as always, guys, I'll catch you next time. And watch out for...
Evil! 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 Evil!